I'm glad to see everyone here tonight. Chris is out of town. Chris is in Haiti right now doing mission work. And I'm going to be honest, I'm going to miss him this week. When he's not here, the office is really quiet. And it gets kind of creepy. Like, you hear all these like weird noises. And I don't know if it's just the building making the noises, or if like maybe Chris is making some noises in his office. But I like to think about that when he's gone, or like when he's here, so it's not as scary. But with him being gone, it's going to be a little scary this week. But we'll get through it. My freshman year at Freed Harbor University, I took a class. It was called Personal Evangelism. I walked into that class. That was my first college class I was ever going to take. And I was walking in. It was the first day freshman year at Freed Harbor. You have to dress up for chapel. So I'm wearing like a button down and a fake bow tie. One of the ones that's like already tied. I just have to like clip it because I can't tie a bow tie. Motivational speech about how I need to do really good in college. And then my dad's followed up with like a, if you fail a class, I'm bringing you home from college, and like threatening me. And I walk into class and I sit in the second row. I don't want to be one of those front row people, a little bit too close to the teacher. He might call on me, but I want to sit in the back because I know I'll get distracted. I sit down in the second row next to another guy that I had just recently met. And he was an upperclassman. And within the first 5 minutes of that class, he's already falling asleep. I'm like, hey, this class might be easy if he's falling asleep and I can still do good and not have to pay attention. And then we go through the syllabus, and the teacher's from, I think, New Zealand. So he has this little accent, so it's kind of funny listening to him at the same time. And just the syllabus just sounds really easy, and I'm excited for him. I'm like, hey, you know, this is a new leaf. I'm going to do really good in college. And then he goes, all right, let's start with the lesson. And he clicks the slide, and two Greek words pop up. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, man, I'm about to fail college. It's only my first day. I'm not sure how I feel about this. And it's not like the translated Greek words. It's like the straight, like, Greek words. It's euangelion and euangelizomai. And I'm sitting here like, I struggled in Spanish in high school, and now much less Greek, and it's going to be a struggle. And he said, don't be scared of these words, because these words are the foundation. Finish this class, and luckily I stuck with the class. It was a great class, and I learned them. So I felt like going along with Chris being in Haiti, we would talk about the Great Commission, and we're going to look at a couple different verses and chapters. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. That's going to be talking about making disciples. We're going to look at Mark chapter 16. Verses 15 and 16. It's going to talk a little bit about preaching. We're going to look at Luke 24, verses 46 through 48. It's going to be witness. And John 20, 21 through 23, offer forgiveness. And we're also going to finish with Acts chapter 1, verse 8, on, again, being a witness. So if you will, please turn with me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm one ahead. All right. What makes the Great Commission so great? Well, for one, it's an explicit command. We're told to go out. We're told to proclaim God's word to the entire world. And we'll look at that a little bit more into detail. Another one, it's the New Testament. It's under the new law. It's something that happened that once Jesus died, he came back and he gave us this command. And something simple, it's Jesus. Jesus told us to do this. And he's the one that giving us this command. And the last one, their placement suggests their strategic importance. And we'll kind of look at all of these as we're going through the chapters. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. If you will, please turn with me there. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 16, it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains in which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" I love this verse. It's really good. It's this part. The significant importance of this, or the moment in time, is they're gathering near the end of Jesus' time on earth. Jesus has been crucified. He comes back. Uh-oh. Is it off? Are we good? Oh, cool. I'm sorry, y'all couldn't hear me. Let's restart. I was kidding. I don't want to do that. All right, so going along with, now that everyone hear me, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20, they gathered near the end of Jesus' time on earth. That's a significant moment in this time. Verse 18, the authority of Jesus. Jesus says that he has all authority on heaven or in heaven and on earth. And then it also goes to Daniel chapter 7. And you don't have to turn there. I'll turn there real quick. Daniel chapter 7, verses, I'm just going to look at 14. And to him was given dominion and a glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which should not pass away, his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. He has authority of heaven and of the earth. It's prophesied back in the book of Daniel, what was to come. And then we don't go to conquer. We don't go to conquer the world for Jesus' sake, but we go in the one who has already conquered. Jesus has already laid the foundation for us to go and spread his word. And to all nations. And then you look at the last verse, verse 20. Jesus isn't just sending us. He is going with us. He's going to be with us always until the end of the age. And then our next one, we're going to look at John chapter 20, verse 21. So if you will, please turn there with me. John chapter 20, reading verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." The sent one becomes the sender. God sent Jesus, and now Jesus is sending us. Their mission proceeds from Jesus' mission, that they are sent because he has completed his mission. As Christians, we are sent because Jesus, as I said earlier, has laid the foundation for the reason why we are being sent as Christians to go into the world and proclaim his gospel. And Jesus Jesus being sent is the foundation for our sending, that he came first, he conquered for us, and now we're told to go after him and proclaim what he did. And Jesus' mission was a spiritual mission. That sounds kind of silly, and I got some laughs in the early service at 6:15, which I'm actually kind of surprised everyone was awake at 6:15. But you might laugh, but Jesus' mission was a spiritual mission. But we have that same mission. Our mission to go out into the world is a spiritual mission. It's not something that we should take lightly, but it's something that we're told to do to the ends of the earth. Mark, I'm going to apologize if y'all can't really see this well. It kind of contrasted with the background, so I've changed the color of it a little bit. Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15. Mark chapter 16, starting in 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Very similar to the book of Matthew. We're told to go into all of the world. We're not told to just stay in this church. We're told to take the gospel to all of creation. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more here in a minute. Here's where my little Greek words come into play, the gospel, and kind of what it means to everyone else. If I click according to 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verse 4, it says that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance to Scripture. It's going along with what the gospel really is. The word euangelion is a noun. And the word means good news or the good news or glad tidings. But the word in the Greek used often when it talks about going into the world and proclaiming the gospel, it's euangelizomai. Euangelizomai is the verb of euangelion. And it means to spread the good news or to proclaim the good news or announce glad tidings. That we're told to go into the world, but it's used as a verb, meaning that there's action to it. Meaning that you don't just sit here and you just don't sit here and say, I'm going to go into the world. You actually have to do it. You actually have to go out and spread God's word. That it never, not once is it translated as a noun when it's talking about going and spreading the gospel. I find that very interesting. Verse 44 of Luke. Let me turn there real quick. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to the understanding of the scripture and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day raised from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins shall be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." That was Luke chapter 24. And going from that, when he opens up their minds to scripture, he points out what the mission of God entails. Jesus and his mission, or and his message, being proclaimed to the whole world. When they had their minds opened up to scripture, they understood what they had to do. And it was that Jesus and his message would be shared to the entire world. And we continue looking at verse 46, the centrality of the gospel. Three verbs are here: suffer, rise, and proclaimed. He's going to suffer. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to raise on the third day. And then we're going to go out and we're going to proclaim his word. And kind of going along with the nouns and verbs, that there are three verbs. The verb suffer, the verb rise. He's going to suffer on the cross. He's going to rise. Those are two actions. And then we have to take action as well and go out and proclaim his word. And then verse 47, repentance and forgiveness of sin. That's what we're told, or that's what we get through baptism. And then Acts. If everyone please turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Oh, I clicked it one too many. All right, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 serves as an outline of Acts. It kind of shows what's coming in the book. You have the churches established in Jerusalem. That's chapters 1 through 7. You have the churches enlarged to Judea and Samaria. That's chapters 8 through 12. And then you have the church expands to the end of the earth. And that's chapters 13 through 28. We're called to be witness. Eyewitnesses, one who can testify about what he has seen or heard. You also see that in Acts 4:19. His last command should be our first concern. He told us to go out into the world. That this strategic importance that we see is his last commandment. This is the last thing that he says on earth, to go out into the world and to spread the gospel, to proclaim his news. And that should be our first concern. But going along with that, the church that lives for itself will die for itself. The church that stays this tight and doesn't expand or doesn't reach out to others will eventually die. If you have nothing coming in, if you have no people coming into a church and the members just keep getting older and older, the church will fade out. We see it a lot. I have a great aunt, and she attends a church in Memphis, Tennessee. And I got to go preach there one time, and I think they had like 14 or 15 people. And it was a beautiful congregation, a beautiful church. I mean, it just had like all this old wood, and it was in downtown Memphis, and it was really nice. And she said, you know, 40 years ago, we had 150 people, and it was down to 12. That if you don't reach out and you don't look to your community and you don't look to your neighbors to reach out to and bring them to God, the church will die. But there's also things that we need to notice about evangelizing. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it's the preacher's job. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it's the elder's job or the deacon's job or the youth minister's job. But it's the Christian's job to go into the world and proclaim the gospel. And I'm not telling you to say, hey, you have to go buy a ticket right now and join Chris in Haiti tonight. That sounds kind of difficult. Go buy a plane ticket, hop on a plane, go to Haiti. It's simple. You wake up every single morning, you have next door neighbors. You have people that you work with. You have coworkers. You have people that you see at Walmart. You have people that you cross every single day who need the gospel. And in that same class I was talking about earlier, there was a website, and I wish I would have looked it up. I'm not sure what the website's called, but it's like a missionary website, and it's a picture of the map of the world. And there are these little tiny dots on it. There was a green dot, a yellow dot, and a red dot. And I looked at it when he first popped it up, and I was like, oh, that's cool. It's a colored map of different colors. But the colors represented something. The green represented the places in the world that the gospel's reached out to, that people are faithful Christians in the world. And then the yellow is where it still needs some work. That the gospel's been there, but nothing's really being done. And then the red is where the gospel hadn't even been touched. And that was the sad part. And that's what I noticed. And that's where I kind of got kind of upset at myself, because the red wasn't only in foreign countries. It was right here in America. That there were spots in America that were red that haven't even been touched by the gospel. And you could click on that button and it would tell you like the number of people in the area that haven't heard the basics of the gospel. And I thought that was crazy. I didn't understand it. Like, what am I doing wrong? And I'm just thinking about it, and I realize I'm just thinking about it as a big world view. That, hey, you know, I don't have time to go to Haiti. I don't have the money to go to Haiti. We make excuses all the time on why we can't go out into foreign countries and spread the gospel. But we don't have to go to foreign countries. All we have to do is walk out of this church building. All we have to do is read the Great Commission, go out into all the worlds and proclaim the gospel, and teaching them how to be a Christian. And it's that simple. 32% of the world's population is Christian. That's not a big percentage. One third of the world's population has never heard the basics of the gospel. That's just the basics. One third of the world has never heard about the Bible. I want to try something. I want you to raise your hand if you recognize this symbol. Just raise your hand. I'm sure I really hope every single person is going to raise their hand for this. It's Coca-Cola. Everybody knows it. It's like the best soft drink, depending on what you like. Some people like Pepsi. But everyone recognizes a Coca-Cola symbol. It's in our everyday lives. We see it nearly every day. You drive by a gas station, they probably have a Coca-Cola symbol on the window. If you walk through Walmart, you can't get out of there without seeing a Coca-Cola symbol. You go to a foreign country and you're from America, they're going to try and sell you Coca-Cola because they know that that's what you know. But 94% of the world's population recognizes the Coca-Cola symbol. 94. And if we go back, one third of the world's population has never heard the basics of the gospel. But 94% of the people recognize a Coca-Cola symbol. The world has been reached in 119 years for profit's sake. It's been reached that the Coca-Cola symbol has gone throughout the world for profit's sake, and more people will recognize the Coca-Cola symbol than they do the Bible, than they do the basics of the Bible. And that's something that kind of upsets me, and it encourages me as well to go out and spread God's word. That I just recently bought a new house, And I was sitting here and I was thinking about it. I said, you know, I have two neighbors on each side of me, and I haven't talked to them about the Bible yet. I have a brand new community that I'm living in, and I haven't talked to anyone about the Bible in that community. Now, I think most of the youth group lives behind me, which is convenient. But there's an entire neighborhood behind me that might have never heard the gospel. For the youth, there's kids in your school that might have never heard the gospel. There's coworkers, there's people you see every single day that maybe haven't been reached by the gospel. Chris and five other preachers, or he's the fifth one, but they're in Haiti right now spreading God's word to people who want to hear it. And I'm not sure how many churches, but I think it's around 5,000 people. Guys, that's crazy. 5,000 people in Haiti want to hear the gospel. And I think that we can just take a step back and we can talk to our neighbor or someone tomorrow about the gospel. I told the youth, take it one person at a time. We're trying to reach out into our high schools and we're trying to talk about the gospel to just one friend. And it's as simple as that. You start with one and then you keep building and you keep building until you have converted a whole number. It's just something, it's that easy. It's the everyday people that you see, you can talk to. So go into the world and go to the ends of the earth. Tonight, if you haven't been a Christian and you're wanting to be through baptism and just become a part of God's church, and you're wanting to go to the ends of the world to proclaim His gospel because you're proud of it. Or maybe you have been a Christian and you just haven't been the Christian that you're supposed to be because you're scared. You're being held back. You're not proud to proclaim His word. And you want to get your life right with God. Now's the time. The invitation's always open. It never closes just because church is over. The invitation's always open. If you have any need, please come now as we stand and sing.